To discuss the latest in NBA rookie Zion Williamson's federal lawsuit, I'm joined by Professor Michael McCann. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So Mike Williamson hasn't even played an NBA game yet, but he's wrapped up in a convoluted legal situation. Can you give like the 30,000-foot view of what's going on?
Yeah, so Zion Williamson was the number one pick in the NBA draft back in June. Prior to that, he was a freshman at Duke, where he was the most heralded young player that we've seen in a long time. And during his spring semester at Duke, it was very clear he was going to go to the NBA. During that time, he got in touch, or someone got in touch with him, specifically Gina Ford, who is the president of Prime Sports Marketing, which is a Florida-based company. She is an expert on marketing deals and endorsement deals. She's had a number of prominent clients. To the extent of their communications are, we don't know. There's some debate about that. But she and he signed a contract back on April 20th. And the contract said in so many words that she would represent him for endorsement deals. At that time, he forfeited the remainder of his NCAA eligibility, because if a player under a new NCAA rule signs with an agent who's not certified by the NCAA, the player then gives up his or her remaining eligibility. And here, that's what happened. A month later, he signs a contract for another agency, CAA, which is a prominent agency, to represent him in both employment and endorsement deals. The problem here is, of course, that he already signed an endorsement deal contract with Prime Sports, and that's the lawsuit. You know, does he owe money? Can he void it? Is it void under North Carolina law because of the law which says that agents have to provide warnings to players? Does that law apply in this context? That's the overarching issue.
Now, Prime Sports, was he aware that there was any issues with this?
It's not clear. I mean, we don't know. I think one could argue that it doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. he was clearly going to go to the NBA draft. The chance of him opting out of the draft and returning to Duke for his sophomore season seemed negligible, if not outright zero. When the Pelicans were awarded the number one pick in the draft, there was some thought that he was disappointed, that instead of going to New Orleans, that he wanted to go play in New York or Los Angeles. Maybe he was disappointed, but the idea that he would then give up going to the NBA, where he knows he would be the number one pick, just seems sort of not plausible. So his lawyers have argued it's a big deal that she sort of duped him, as they portray it.
Right.
Her argument, although it hasn't been fully fleshed out, is more that this was an adult who signed a contract. He was 18. He wasn't a child. And the idea of him forfeiting his NCAA eligibility seems more of an academic or theoretical point than one that actually matters.
Yeah, no. How have the Pelicans played into this at all?
The Pelicans at this point are just passively watching it. He agreed to a contract with the Pelicans, an employment contract under the NBA rookie wage scale. There's very little, if any, negotiation. And CAA, the agency that he signed with subsequent to Ford, is the agency that signed him to that contract. In some ways, an NBA first-round pick contract is just, it's pro forma. Because there's a collectively bargained wage scale, the players know what they're going to get. It's not going to make a difference in that regard. I think the Pelicans, though, don't want their rookie star player to be dealing with a federal lawsuit and a state lawsuit. It just seems like a potential distraction.
Because these are going to be very time consuming. They're not going to be wrapped up before the season starts by any stretch of the imagination, I'd assume.
No.
Especially federal.
Probably not. Unless Zion and CAA pay Ford. I mean, that's probably how this will end, is a settlement. But it may not come that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also tricky because of what occurred prior to Zion Williamson going to Duke. There's an allegation for Michael Avenatti, who's been charged with extortion related to Nike, separate from whether or not he committed extortion. I mean, he argues that he was acting as a lawyer. Setting that aside for a second, he has evidence, it appears. At least he claims to have evidence. He has actual emails and text records showing that according to him, that Nike approved payments to pay Williamson while he was in high school. If it's true that there were payments to Williamson while he was in high school, then he would have been ineligible for Duke, that Duke would have been playing with an ineligible player. Maybe there were also crimes. We know that Adidas officials were convicted of crimes related to a wire and bank fraud over bribes to high school recruits. So it could get ugly pretty fast.
Right. Yeah, it seems like all these kind of corruption scandals are kind of intertwining when it comes to the NBA and Avenatti and the NCAA.
Yeah, and I think it goes to why the NBA has sort of moved in a direction of embracing the G League, where it's its own minor league system. Players can go from high school to the G League. They can't go to the NBA out of high school yet, but they can go to the G League. And it signals that the NBA, maybe, and I'm just speculating, looks at college basketball and says, you know, this is kind of corrupt. And why don't they just go play for us? Why don't we train them and in a cost-effective way? Or they can go to Europe or Australia. Several high school players are going to Australia.
Really?
They're just bypassing college altogether. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see more of that, because there's a sense of corruption, but setting aside corruption with college basketball, players might develop better by playing in a pro system. It's more akin to playing in the NBA. I mean, there have been NBA scouts and GMs who have said in so many words, I would rather players go play pro at a high school, not necessarily in the NBA, but somewhere, because their development would be more along the lines of an NBA player, and also be easier to judge them as a scout if they're playing in a pro context than in a college game, which is so different.
Yeah, I mean, and plus there's none of the academic stress, regardless of the quality necessarily that some of these athletes are receiving, which is a whole other can of worms we're not going to delve into. But yeah, it would be a lot easier to figure out, oh, this player can definitely do it because they know what it's like to play in a league already. They're dedicated to it. And there's not all these side effects of being in a university or college.
Yeah. And you know, the education stuff is relevant because if you're a recruit, if you're a highly sought after recruit high school and you're thinking of going to college, if you go play pro for your year, you could hire a tutor.
Yeah.
You're like, really, who teaches you on accounting and financial stuff that might be very germane to your career, as opposed to what the one and done players, where they go to college for years, they're not even in class the whole spring semester.
Especially in 2019, so many things being online, so many things you can just get independently nowadays. I mean, I've picked up so many skills just from YouTube. I mean, things just are out there if you want to pick up skills. You don't need to be necessarily a 4-year undergrad at one of these top schools to get a decent education in certain fields.
That's absolutely right. And if you're a player who's thinking, I have a year to develop my game until the NBA, would it be better to go to college where there would be kind of random first year college classes,
yeah,
that may not really be relevant? I mean, maybe it's beneficial for a semester, but I don't know. If I'm there and I'm going to go to the NBA, my focus is on getting ready for the NBA.
Right.
It's not on intro to philosophy, right? It's on working on my free throw form.
I would imagine it probably opened it up for a lot more players to have an opportunity to be able to prove themselves, wouldn't it? Because they'd be able to have, basically, they have as many teams as they want.
Yeah, absolutely. The market would take care of that because there would be enough teams to fill the pool of players. Mm-hmm. And also you could say, is it good that they're going to Europe or Australia or China? Maybe if we had our own sort of robust minor league system, and the G League might become that. G League, the NBA is clearly committed to it, and it wouldn't surprise me if the G League becomes something like minor league baseball.
Right.
I mean, not maybe to the same extent, but, and also, you know, would a player go to a G League team over going to Duke or UNC? I don't know. Those are great programs, and their players go to the NBA, so you could argue that developmental-wise, maybe it's better to go to an elite program, but I think that choice that has traditionally been so obvious, right? Everyone goes to college. I think that's really changing.
Yeah, it's because right now it's basically a monopoly. I mean, it's the NCAA and that's it. I mean, there's no other real players that are funneling, no other real athletic leagues for colleges that competes with the NCAA at this point.
That's right. It's the NCAA. There are other associations, but they're not playing NBA developmental players.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.